Hello, and welcome to the Weekly Comic Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayer. In this episode, we'll be discussing recently released comics. One from DC, one from Marvel, and at least one other. As always, we'll keep major spoilers to a minimum, but we'll discuss general plot points and storylines of the comics we review. This is Weekly Comics Spotlight, 493 for comics originally released on January 18th, 2017. Now, starting us off in DC is Cave Carson Has a Cybernetic Eye, number 4. This is part of the Young Animal imprint, and I'll be honest, this imprint, this title in particular, both of them are struggling with me at the moment. Part of it is, I think they're trying to go very kind of old-school Vertigo, a little wacky for the sake of wackiness' sake, which, you know, some people are really into, me, not so much. And this issue just generally didn't click with me on multiple levels. It's written by John Riviera, stories by Gerard Way and John Riviera. We've got cover and art by Michael Avon Oeming, who, while a very talented artist, is not one whose style particularly jives with me. So I don't think it's that this is a bad comic, but it's not a, it's not in my wheelhouse, and it's just not seeming to be something for me. And there have been a couple of things I've just been kind of struggling with in this series, and the whole cybernetic eye for Cave Carson is one of them. That doesn't make him cool. It makes him a ripoff of the Bionic Man. I mean, this is the DC universe. You've got a guy who, Cave Carson, he goes into caves, he goes underground, that's his thing. Well, golly, is there nothing interesting underground in the DC universe? Heck, kick him over to Skartaris or whatever, the underground world of the Warlord. Have him go adventure there. That could be fun. But no, that's not the way they wanted to go. This whole, does he see things with this cybernetic eye? That's where they want to go. Well, okay. And then the inexplicable inclusion of Wild Dog in this series. He so doesn't fit here. He's an urban vigilante, exactly like we see in the Arrow TV show. No, let's have him go do underground exploring. It just, the decisions they've made don't work for me. I'm sure there's an audience out there. I'm sure they're loving it. I'm just not part of that audience. How is this working for you? Tell me I'm all wrong and it's wonderful.
Yeah, you know, I know there are folks that are liking this. And I'm not disliking all of Young Animal. I do enjoy Shay the Changing Girl. I'm enjoying that title, and it is a little weird. This weirdness doesn't work for me. I don't seem to get it. I just don't think I'm the right audience for this, because I just don't get what they're going for. They threw a couple backup stories in this thing that I found just completely, I have no idea what their connection is and why they're there and what they're about. It was just weird, tack-ons at the end. And I thought that was strange. This book is, I like the Oeming art. I kind of like that stylized look sometimes. So the art doesn't throw me at all, but yeah, the story just, it doesn't compel me at all and pull me in. And but it is working for folks.
It's funny, because of the two of us, I figured this would have worked better for you than for me. You tend to go further afield than the superhero stuff than I do. You tend to be more into the Image and the more indie type stuff than I do. And the fact that we seem to be having a similar kind of reaction to this, on the one hand, pleases me, because it makes me think I'm not completely insane. But it does surprise me a little, because, I mean, man, those backup features, geez, almost the less said about them, the better. The problem I have with them is they're trying to go old school by making it look as if it's almost like on newsprint, so it's got this yellowish tint to the whole thing.
Yeah.
So the colors are muted, the panels are tiny, even the dialogues, I think, kick down a font size or two, so it's more physically challenging to read than it needs to be. It's completely out of continuity, and I don't know where they're going, why they're going, or if there's a point to any of these stories. And some of the characters, like the Wonder Twins, I've got no particular dislike of those characters, but that story just did nothing for me. And it's hard to tell, are these one story, multiple stories, or just what's going on here? But the last page of it or whatever with Batgirl and Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Lassie, the sentient magic lasso. Seriously?
Yeah. No idea what's going on. No idea.
And then we get some Green Lanterns there at the end. I'm like, what is this? I literally did not understand what they were trying to do. And I think you were having, again, you phrased it very similarly, is it's just the story didn't make sense for you. I forget your exact phrase or whatever. But for me, it's just what they're trying to tell and what I'm trying to read. There's a disconnect there. And I don't think it's necessarily that it is bad. It's a matter of, again, what they're trying to do isn't what I'm expecting or wanting. I've got a few more issues of this on pre-order. I probably should have read this before I sent in my last order. I don't think I'll be pre-ordering any more of Cave Carson, although the next solicit has Superman guest starring, so I don't know, maybe not. The thing's so seemingly out of continuity and whatnot that it may fall into my mindset of Young Animal is not core DC and therefore. But I think I need to... I've been looking at how many comics I'm getting these days, and I think I need to be cutting back, and this is one of those where it's like, you know, this would be an easy one to cut, and therefore it may get cut. The question is how much of the other Young Animal stuff goes with it, and at this point, Doom Patrol is the most likely one to stay on the reading list, but I'll make those decisions as I read the next issues of those. But for me, this just didn't work for me, and it has me questioning if the direction they're heading with Young Animals is a direction I care to go in. And at the moment, the answer's kind of no. For me, this was a D-. I really didn't get anything out of this. And again, I hope other people do, but for me, it didn't work.
Yeah, I gave it a D+. still a bad comic. Not something I'd recommend. I don't get it. I'm not really feeling what they're putting down here. And it's too bad. I mean, I think Shade the Changing Girl is working for me. It's a good story. I understand it. it has some weirdness, but the weirdness is in doses I can swallow. And this is a different type of weirdness, and it isn't working for me at all. And it's too bad, because I know this made a couple of folks' lists on our year-end spotlight, and hats off. Hats off to them, because it's not working for me.
Different tastes for different people. That's cool. If I had to stack the Young Animals group in terms of weirdness quotient, I'm not quite sure where I'd put Mother Panic off the top of my head, but I would go Doom Patrol is least weird, Shade a little more weird, and Cave Carson most weird.
Yeah.
But it's just that weirdness quotient is not something I look for in a comic.
Yeah, I think I feel like I've read one less Mother Panic than the other titles.
It sounds about right. I think Doom Patrol feels like it's shipping a little late. I think we've read the most of Cave Carson, followed by Shade, maybe one more of that, actually.
Yeah, I think Shade's 3 or 4.
I mean, I appreciate what they're trying to do. They're trying to serve a broader audience and stuff like that. That's great. And I don't think they expect everyone who's reading mainstream DC necessarily to read Young Animals, and that's fine, too. And I may be one of those that reads mainstream DC and not Young Animals. And I'm sure there are a lot of people already in that camp.
Yeah, definitely. And there's a lot of people, you know, that don't read Vertigo. So it's kind of like the same deal. It's a niche of a niche.
Well, and even classic Vertigo, I never got that deep into it. You know, I would get the stuff that was kind of right there on the border between it and the DC universe, or stuff that had migrated across. But I didn't go into, aside from Fables and a few things. Sandman, I mean, there were a couple.
Sandman, Preacher?
Not Preacher.
No.
Not Preacher, not Why the Last Man, not a lot of stuff.
Yeah, a couple of those are standouts.
Yeah, no, they had a great run. Vertigo was well done. It's just the types of stories they chose to tell were not the types of stories I tended to gravitate towards. So it's just a matter of, am I part of that audience or not?
Well, I am not the audience for Cave Carson, so I bid you a fond adieu.
Well, like I said, I've got a few on pre-order, but then I'm probably not that far behind you. That having been said, shall we move over to our Marvel book?
Yeah.
This is the Mighty Captain Marvel number 1. It did have a 0 issue, but this should not be confused with the Unmighty Captain Marvel, or just the Captain Marvel, which was the previous volume of this. And I don't remember who was the creative team on the previous volume. It was quite probably the same. I don't think it was the same writer. But frankly, this series doesn't feel that different than the previous one. There were a couple of things in this. First off, I want to say I like the artist. I thought the art, by and large, was really good. And I want to preface that. I want to say that up front before I then go slam parts of the issue, which I think the artist was unfortunately responsible for. There were a couple of things, like the fake out of starting with the Captain Marvel, that's Cap apostrophe N Marvel, TV series that they're inexplicably doing to fund Alpha Flight now. It's like, okay, she was promised the world last we saw at the end of a recent issue, and now suddenly she's essentially going to Hollywood begging for money or whatever. It's just, this doesn't make sense to me. But the part where the thing really started to lose me,
I think that whole sequence was just so they could put the DeConnick name on a director's chair in a panel. I think that's the only reason that was contrived, was as a homage to Kelly Sue's run on this title, a couple, and that was the best way to shoehorn that in there. Otherwise, you're right, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, in Wacker Studios, as in Steve Wacker.
Mm-hmm.
So there was some name dropping there. What gets me is when they leave, they get into a car. Okay, the people that get into a car, Sasquatch, who's looking nothing like his usual Alpha Flight self, Captain Marvel, who can fly, and Spider-Woman. Granted, they're out of costume. Well, Sasquatch is Sasquatch, but the other two are out of costume. They get into a car. I'm like, wow, all the joys of, what, presumably New York City traffic. This makes sense.
And it's a burnt Sienna Chevy Tahoe. Not your typical car that you'd think they would hop into.
All right, this is a 3-page sequence. On the third page, she leaves the car because she gets a call and she bolts out of there. She flies out the moonroof, which I thought was actually pretty nice versus, you know, ripping off the door, or slamming through the roof or whatever. What really impressed me was the unseen installation of said moonroof in those 3 pages since she got in the car when it didn't have one. I mean, this to me as an artist, it's like, wait a sec. Oh, they need it here. Go back a few pages. Go pencil it into the side of one panel or whatever. It wouldn't have taken that much.
Yes, we clearly see the roof of the car and no moonroof. And that's an editor's job to catch that, right?
I would also think it's an editor's job to point out the Sasquatch doesn't look like the Alpha Flight Sasquatch. He looks like a Sasquatch might, but again, this whether it's the artist or the editor, both are kind of responsible.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the artist should have done the research before they drew Sasquatch. But if they're following along in the script and they get to the moonroof scene, I can see them. I can forgive them not going back to the last time they drew that vehicle and putting one in there. But that's where I would think the editor would step in.
I would say the writer should have pointed it out to begin with. By the way, the car's going to need a moonroof. We're going to use it later.
Yeah.
If that part was in the script, that may have been, again, it might have been on the artist, might have been on the writer. Don't know, don't care. Not a big deal either way, but it's one of those things that these are the things that jump out at me at times. I mean, it made for a very good splash page of her zooming out of the top of the roof while they're on the bridge. And good thing they were on a bridge, not in a tunnel. That would have been a very different sort of a scene, and she's, you know, crashing through the roof of the tunnel or something. It might have been very dramatic, but probably not what they were wanting to go for. But a lot of this issue is centering around how a bunch of aliens are coming as refugees to Earth. And some people think that's okay, some not so much. And I'm like, you know, this kind of reminds me of the time the galaxy was using the Marvel Earth as a penal colony. I think that was the Maximum Security event series a while back. But, you know, we've seen this sort of a thing before. And it's just, overall, Captain Marvel seemed no mightier than she was before. Nothing really justified this as a new volume. And it didn't seem like a number one that would really necessarily hook new readers. But it's not that bad of an issue either. Again, it has some really solid art, a few nitpicks aside. It's just this wasn't that great of an issue. And when we get to, and this is something that, did you read the print copy or did you get a digital copy?
Digital.
Okay. This is something that you probably would not have had in the digital copy, but in the print copy, second to last page is on the left. We've got an ad on the right, flip to get to the last page, then we get the letter page. That ad we get right there at the end is from number one New York Times bestselling author Margaret Stahl for her two Black Widow novels. And this is presumably a Marvel or Disney Books ad. So I don't think the author placed the ad, but it's like, you've got a full page ad for the books by the author. It's like, I kind of get it, but if you've got to be telling me as I'm finishing up the issue that she's a New York Times bestselling author, I don't know, something about that didn't quite work for me.
Yeah, it's giving her cred, I guess.
Yeah, I would have felt better about it if I thought this was a really great first issue, whereas I thought it was a little pedestrian and, one could argue, written for the trade or written for the novel, perhaps, in this case. Something that, had this been the first chapter or so of a book, okay, it would have worked well, but I would have then followed it with the rest of the book immediately. Here, I've got to wait another, well, at least a week or two before the next issue. I'm not sure when the next one's coming out. As a self-contained installment, it was a little underwhelming. Again, not bad, but not, you know, blow my socks off either.
Yeah, I didn't feel it was a bad comic. It was in that it's not too bad. Yeah, but what does it offer you? What does it hook you, and how does it hook you, and what, why does it make you want to read that next issue? And it kind of is that in that area, you know, kind of interested in what's going on with the little Kree orphan girl. But that's really kind of the only storyline I care about. I still have a bad taste in my mouth from Civil War II and how she just kind of didn't seem to take any of the heat for any of the problematic decisions that were made during that event, and kind of got a pass, it seems like. And I don't really get that, but
I think she got a little bit more than a pass. I believe the phrase at one point was "anything you want is yours," essentially, kind of a sentiment.
Yeah,
but she came out the hero of the story somehow.
Even the rest of the superhero community, I don't seem to see any kind of backlash or anything. You would expect a little bit, and maybe they'll touch on it later. But I'm just not feeling what I think I should be feeling with that. But so it's really hard to say, oh, I can't wait to see this great heroic character that I don't really feel is that heroic, and this doesn't seem to acknowledge that she needs anything to be redeemed from, and so they just kind of moved on from that. And so that's tough. That's tough to buy into the main character. Oh, and they're not that likable. And like you said, this isn't an outstanding work either on the writer's side or the artist's side, for that matter. So it's right in that, for me, it's right in that C+, B- range. And I think I'm leaning towards the C+. And I think people should check it out for themselves. It's worth checking out. I just don't know if it's going to hook you, and know that going in.
Well, and I think the way you're phrasing it there, it's a good comic, but is it good enough to get you to get that next issue kind of a thing? And it's, I like the art. So that, I think, for me, gives it a little bit of an edge up. Maybe it didn't have with you, but I think, again, it's right there in that area where it's good. But to justify another first issue, to start a new storyline, to do all of those things, it needed to be better. And part of that's just, it's a competitive marketplace. Part of that is I have certain expectations. Part of that is she was just the lead, like you said, of the major event story for the Marvel Universe. And what we were led to believe coming out of that and what we get here, wait a sec, what's going on? So I too was right there in that C+, B- area. I'm going with the B-. Perhaps being a little charitable again, I thought it was some nice, clean artwork. It's funny, I actually liked the look of Captain Marvel better on the TV show than the real one. I think the longer hair or whatever just worked better. It didn't justify another first issue. Again, she seemed no mightier than she was before, but it wasn't a bad issue. It's one of those, if you like the character, yeah, check it out. If you've got a pull list or reading list that's pretty full, not something you have to add. Not something you have to avoid either. I would say you're more likely to like it than hate it, but I don't think there's any particular thing that would compel me to tell somebody you've really got to check this out. It's just, it was all right, but I needed it to be better. With that, shall we move over to our other book of the week?
Yes.
This is The Few. This is by Image Comics. This is written by Sean Lewis. We've got Hayden Sherman on art and cover. I did not pre-order this. This is one of actually many, many books this year you've kind of talked me into reading. I think actually, aside from Walking Dead, three of the five things we've picked so far for the year in this other category are not things I've pre-ordered. But Walking Dead and what we're going to do in 2 weeks is. But this is another one. It's like, okay, I'll try it out. Not crazy about the art style. This is a very kind of a sketchy sort of a style with a little bit looser line work or whatever. Certain things a little bit more implied. There's a lot of kind of the almost like the Zipitone dots or whatever. And it's perfectly justifiable art style. There's nothing inherently wrong with it. It just doesn't tend to click with me. So overall, I'd say the art was fine. I just didn't care for it. There were a few places where the story was a little unclear because it was literally almost sketched out.
Yeah.
And maybe I'd get used to the art style over time, maybe even grow to really think it fits the storyline and such. But I really didn't understand the woman's situation or backstory well enough to really care about her. I really got nothing in terms of the baby. I think we see the baby in the gas mask clearly a time or two. The other guy, the two brothers or whatever, it's like, they didn't really do anything for me. So I didn't find any of the characters to be ones that I really needed to know more about. But I think part of that is also this sort of dystopian future survival tale. Again, not the sort of story I tend to gravitate towards, not the kind of thing that really resonates with me. I'd much rather go to a Star Trek, even a Star Wars, Babylon 5, Firefly kind of a future that's a little bit more upbeat. Sure, you may have the evil empire, but for the average person, under the empire, life wasn't horrible. It's not the dystopian, post-apocalyptic sort of a thing that we're getting in a lot of other stories and such.
Okay.
Yes, I think certain people would have been, you know, not happy under the empire. Absolutely. Not trying to say it was all, you know, love and roses or anything, but, you know, when you are going around some of the cities and stuff at the times, it's like, you know, if you are beneath the Empire's radar, you're doing okay. You could do okay. Other people, yeah, it sucks. But this was a story that didn't give me enough to really understand either the big picture or any particular character's plight in it. So I didn't really feel anything to pull me to that next issue. This seems like the sort of thing that might work better again for you, because you tend to find a lot more things to your liking in Image and in this area. So how did you like it?
At first I struggled with the gender of the main character, because the art was just not helping me out, and I was not sure if it was a man or a woman, or if we were supposed to be questioning it, or if we were supposed to not be questioning it because we were just supposed to just not worry about that. I wasn't sure, and so that was always kind of confusing as I was reading through this.
Because we're a good couple of pages before we get the she pronoun referring to her.
Yeah. And as we read through this, I start to think, okay, I see this is kind of like Black Road. It kind of has this, okay, this it's also like the spread. There's the, okay, he's protecting the baby. All right. This is something I've seen a couple of times. I think it's well executed. I think I like this. The scratchy art style is okay with me, and characters are interesting, if not fully embraceable, but they are interesting, and I can see who the bad guys are, and then who the good guys are, I think, and I'm always down for resistance, for rebellion, so I like rebellion stories. That's cool. But I just felt like I was kind of seeing things that I've been reading Warlords of Appalachia. That's kind of going, there's a resistance thing going on over there, so this is very common. And then we get to the reveal at the end, and that kind of separated it for me. I felt like that was a nut, made it a notch better, and this is what we're doing. It's not just a regular tale. We've got a twist to it. Now I'm a little more interested, and so for me, this worked, and was the best of the three that I read today and for the show. And it does have enough for me to keep going, but I can totally get, someone reading this and thinking, oh, I've read this story a million times, or this is weird art, or who are these people and who should I like? those are all valid arguments. But for me, it all kind of came together finally at the end, and put it over the line, and made a comic that I that I enjoyed and want to read more of.
Good. I'm glad it worked for you. For me, your point that we've read stories like this before, I think, is a good one, because even though I haven't read a number of those comics you were mentioning, we've all seen the dystopian future in movies, TV shows, etc. You know, at one point we get to what's a bizarre, almost circle or caravan or whatever of mobile homes and stuff like that, or RVs or whatever. And I'm like, okay, this looked interesting. But then when we first get that establishing shot, to me, it was muddied up by the inexplicable rectangle of dots on the horizon. And I'm like, what is that supposed to represent? You know, so there were things on the art that just puzzled me.
That scene in particular was an interesting visual scene that they spent no time with. You know, I thought, oh, that's really cool. It's kind of the way it kind of emanates from the center, and it's a circle of these. I wonder, you know, how you make your way in. And they spent, what, a page on it, a few panels?
I see this a spiral of things towards that center, a spiral of vehicles and such. And my first thought is, wait, they're all facing out. How did they get to this position? Did they back into this? That doesn't make sense. Did they circle around and then pull in front and pull back? I mean, you know, the
parallel parking nightmare.
Yeah, the logistics of this make no sense to me. But then, like you said, yeah, we're there for a page or two, and what could be a very interesting. Okay, tell this should reveal something about their society, and it doesn't. It's like let's just move on. You know, but this seemed to be in a barren wasteland with nothing on the horizons. And then not long later, and not long before, we're in the woods, we've got all this vegetation, there are mountains. It's like the geography of this is a little perplexing to me. This seems like it's either something that you want, you're open to this sort of a story more than I am, or you're not. For me, it's not bad. It's just not in my wheelhouse. I don't think I'm part of the target audience in terms of either the art or necessarily the story. People who are into this kind of stuff may really come to enjoy it. I hope they do. But for me, I'm going with a C-. Again, I got the preview PDF. That's sufficient for me. I don't feel the need to continue.
Yeah, it's a B for me. And I liked it a little bit better than you did. I think it's pricey. I don't think it's a standard $3.99 or $2.99 image book. I think it's a $4.99 book. I'll have to check
it
that.
It is $4.99. Yeah. I'm looking at the cover now.
And I didn't feel like we got that much extra. We did get a preview of Rucka's the Old Guard in the back of it, which is cool, but not what you pay for when you pick up the comic. So it didn't feel like you got a significant amount of extra pages, but obviously we did.
Yeah, I guess we got around 40, 45, maybe a little more pages and stuff. It just didn't feel like that.
Mm-mm. It feel like we were just getting started. So, you know, that is a factor because it's a $5 book.
Absolutely. And I think that was part of why I came out of it thinking, how come I don't really know these characters?
Mm-hmm.
They had the page count. I don't feel that they like squandered it or anything, but it didn't click with me. But again, not the sort of story I tend to gravitate towards, not the kind of art style I tend to gravitate towards. So I don't think they did anything. I mean, I've read some books where it's like, this is just poorly executed. That was not the case here. It's just, I think there are a few places where they could have been a little clearer on the storytelling, and they could have given me a little bit more to kind of sink my hooks into, but, you know, we'll see how it does. Or you'll see how it does. I'll look at the numbers later.
Back to the drawing board. We'll try again with an indie book in the future.
Hey, I'm welcome to try these things out. Sometimes they're hits. Sometimes it's just not what I'm looking to read. You know, there's nothing right or wrong about that, but it's funny because I'm trying to expand my reading horizons. On the other hand, I am trying to pull back a little on what I'm reading.
A little bit of both.
Well, yeah, because I'm about halfway through this week's reading. I've got about 52 new comics this week, and it's like that's a fair number. I was going through what I'm getting next week. I think I've got like 67 or something I might be getting next week.
Is it just a 4-week ship month?
It is a 4-week ship month, as is standard. The fifth is that bonus, you know, but it's like, I need to pull back a little bit. This is just getting a little bit, untenable. I'm doing good to stay on the current week. It's not like I can even finish that by the time we record.
Yeah. Hey, what's this thing about previews? I got a weird DCBS email about it, and I see there's a forum post.
I'm glad you asked.
What's the deal there?
Previews normally comes out on the last Wednesday of the month. Now, in January, that would be the 25th. We're recording this on the evening of the 24th, so it should have come out tomorrow as we record this, or last Wednesday, if people listen to it the minute we put this up. And of course, people are chomping at the bit for these. I'm kidding. It came out 8 years ago as you listen to this, if you unarchived it out of the nether regions of the internet. Anyways, instead of coming out on the last week of the month, for whatever reason, it's coming out on the 1st of February. So DCBS, since some people only get monthly or whatever, or every other week shipping, is holding those shipments, I believe, so they can put the previews in there. Otherwise, some people wouldn't get the previews until after the orders do. So it's a little inconvenient or whatnot. I don't know what is causing the holdup on previews. This isn't like the first time it's ever happened, I think. Maybe, I don't know. But shipping a week late like this, you know, they've hit it sometimes at the end of the year or whatever kind of a deal and stuff. It is a little unusual. Normally, previews comes out like clockwork. Now, they've only done, what, 390-some-odd or whatever issues of previews. So, you know, getting one a week late, yeah, it's going to happen. But because of that, I am pushing the deadline for the preview spotlight back a week to February 11th. Because otherwise, I wouldn't have gotten my previews until, like, the day before the clips were due. And it's like, that's just crazy. So everybody's got another week to do the clips and stuff. So there's no reason not to do it. While the deadline is Saturday morning, February 11th now, I've updated the thread. I've updated the main page accordingly. If you can get stuff in earlier, that would be a huge help. Please post on the forum, what you're going to do with the full title and issue number and such. And if you know the publisher, include that. Because that way I can have my Excel file of what clips I'm expecting good to go before the deadline. Because that's also the week I'm expecting the January numbers to come out. So it could be a pretty busy weekend for me. So a little help, and if clips can come in early, that'd be nice. But I want to make sure people had the time to actually read previews and, or at least get it before the clips were due.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. Just sporting. Otherwise, it's like, yeah, you got to have it. And no, I mean, as we're recording this, today is the first time I was even seeing some of the online solicits. So I think everything just kind of got backed up a week for whatever reason.
We'll blame it on the holidays.
We'll blame it on the holidays. Absolutely. You know,
comps a lot. Eric from Cowabunga Comics has set up a comic book page chat channel through, is it Slack?
It's Slack.
Slack. And, made it easy for us to sign up. There is a forum post, and the idea being that this would take the place of what?
It wouldn't take the place of anything. And I want to, you know, I want to keep as much of the discussion and stuff on the forum as makes sense. But there's some things where you either need a little bit faster turnaround, or it's something. It's easier to use something like Slack, which is a persistent chat channel. On like a phone or something like that. So it's a little bit more interactive. It's kind of like chatting on Skype on text or whatever, or a Jabber or something like that.
It so just I set it up on my, history to it. I set it up on my laptop, but I actually needed to download the app probably.
I've got it set up on my computer through the web. I've got it on my phone. It's just another venue for discussion.
Just like a closed Twitter for just us.
Yeah, except you're not limited to 140 characters and such.
Right.
Okay. A lot of tech companies use it as a way just for their teams to communicate, because again, you've got a history to it, but it's more of a interactive thing than a time shifted like a forum kind of a deal. Forum, okay. you put a long post in there and you throw it up there, and then you know somebody sees it a couple of days later, whatever, maybe. Whereas with something like Slack, you can put a shorter comment, or if you want to do a whole diatribe, but the longer it is, the more likely the forum would be the better approach. But somebody, you put it up, and then boom, my phone's going to tell me, hey, somebody just put this out there. So again, more of an interactive kind of a venue for discussion.
Cool. Okay.
You know, we're going to experiment with it. If it catches on, we'll keep it. If it doesn't, we might not. But anything that furthers kind of the discussion and whatnot is, I think, a good thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, and you can find details on the forum on how to do that.
I want to thank Eric for setting it up. He had tossed the idea out, and it's like, yeah, well, you know, if there's a point to it, and he had some good rationale or whatever on the thread. set it up. It's like, yeah, we'll try it, see how it works. Anything else? Does that pretty much do it?
Hey, I think that does it.
Cool. Join us next time as we discuss Commandy Challenge number 1 from DC, Hulk number 2 from Marvel, and Lady Castle number 1 from Boom Studios.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.